There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good to have you with us. You are listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from our studios here in Dubai Media City. Back to our spiritual home of Bareste this time next week. But a few renovations going on there from our broadcast position. So we've got the comfort of the studio to look forward to. What's coming up in the next 3 hours of the show? 3 hours of sports insight, intrigue and a bit of banter along the ways as well. Second weekend of the Premier League. 2 live games for you right here on Dubai 103.5. Tottenham against Fulham will be the first one up at 6 o'clock. We've got a live game to keep you up to date with. Before all that, we'll give you team news in just a little while. We've got an early kickoff over in Scotland, first weekend of action in Serie A, La Liga and France, and there's cup action from Germany as well. Rugby Championship is back and it's underway. We've got live Bledisloe action in this first hour of the show, and of course look ahead to the second game, which sees the Pumas taking on South Africa later on. For cricket fans, well, India are in action against England in the third test of the that series. Djokovic and Federer both in Cincinnati semis. We've got Alonso announcing his retirement from Formula One. American and European golfers are all gunning for points as they try and force their way into Ryder Cup contention. Tyson Fury, who believes he's the greatest heavyweight on the planet at the moment, he fights tonight, so we'll get more insight into his preparations. And in the wake of Imran Khan being elected as Prime Minister over in Pakistan, in light and in wake of that victory, we're asking which sporting greats have enjoyed alternative second careers. Thoughts please to 4001.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Bareste, where the game is always on.
Not live from Bareste today, but very much live from the studio down here in Media City. As always, if you'd like to have your say, you can do so in a number of ways. Text me now on 4001. We're taking out your texts and taking your thoughts on that one. Be more than happy to read those out. You can tweet us at any point at DubaiEye1038FM or hashtag DubaiEye1038. And you can give us a call as well, because the lines are live as we speak at the moment. How do you get in touch with the show? You call us on 04871550. That's 04871550. If there's anything with a modicum of sporting interest that you'd like to get off your chest, then make sure you get in touch with the show. And as I said, we can share our thoughts or those thoughts with the team here in the studio. Talking of that team, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio our grill panellists this Saturday afternoon. Two men who've been there, done that in their respective sporting arenas. Sean O'Shea is a pro footballer who turned his attentions, and of course, as a former pro footballer, who turns his attention to coaching. He is now head of football operations at Nad Al Sheba Sports Complex. Joins us live here in the studio. Sean, always nice to catch up with you. Thanks for being with us.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah, great to be back.
So, in terms of the playing, played over in the UK and in Scandinavia as well.
In Norway, that's right. Yeah.
What took you to Norway? Why Norway?
Partner. In a word,
it's always the way, isn't it? Always the way. And then in terms of the coaching as well, coached, am I right, up in Scandinavia?
Yes, yeah, so I was coaching Norway? And playing in Norway, yeah. Then I went back to England and I was coaching at Huddersfield Town in the academy, and then over here then for the last 5 years as head of football.
So plenty going on.
Lots going on, yeah.
Loving your time here in the UAE.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great
busy
place,
time for you guys at the moment.
Not so busy. We were busy up until probably the middle of July. We had a couple of players over doing some rehab work and pre-season work, but with the heat and stuff now, it's just been really quiet. But we're gearing up for the start of the season in September again, so it will get busy. It will get busy again now as we start the new season. Yeah,
great to have you on board. We've got an early kickoff to look forward to. Who plays at the half past kickoff? 12:30 over in the UK, 3:30 here. What's the first game in the Premier League this season?
Cardiff City versus Newcastle United today.
So that's what we've got to look forward to. Yep. We'll get some team news from Sean in just a few moments' time. But before all that, time to introduce another man who was been there, done that on sporting his arenas on rugby fields, both in South Africa and here in the UAE. In fact, he can claim to be an international, former international, having represented the Arabian Gulf on several occasions here in the UAE. Then turned his attention, not so much, as I'm aware, to the coaching side of things, more the sports marketing side of things as well. Carlos van Roosevelt, good to have you on board.
Yeah, very good afternoon, Tom. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back to you, Tom. You know, you've been away for a long, long time. I thought you disappeared off the planet, but good to see you. Still looking very well, as usual.
like Teflon, mate. Can't get rid of me, that's for sure. Can't get rid of me. Coaching, was ever something that you thought about after you hung up the boots?
No, Tom, not hardly as interested as Sean. I don't think I'm patient enough. You need to be patient and understanding, and I don't possess those qualities.
Do coaches need to be patient?
But absolutely, yeah. That's probably the biggest quality you need.
And in terms of your playing days, Carlos, I know we've spoken about it before, but you represented the Arabian Gulf here. Your club here was Exiles, is that
Dubai
right?
Exiles, yeah, of course. Yeah, so had a very good innings year, and then hung up the boots, in 2012. So
hung up the boots in 2012. And where did you cut your teeth rugby wise? Down in South Africa?
Yeah, down in South Africa. I went to an all rugby school, Porus, down in Stellenbosch, and then afterwards to Stellenbosch University. Had a game province under 20s, and then obviously played first team for the club, and then after that set my way over to the States for a while, and then found myself in the UAE.
So that's what you've got to contend with here on the show this afternoon. If you'd like to share your thoughts with Sean, with Carl, with myself, then text us now on 4001 or give us a call. Pick up the phone, 0487155001. One common theme I would like to run throughout the show is sportsmen or women who've gone on to... bigger, better things, alternative things, I think is a better way of putting it. Imran Khan, the former Pakistani all-rounder, has shown his all-round skills no bounds by being elected the Prime Minister of the country. That follows an illustrious career as a cricketer. He turned his attention to politician and has now reached the dizzy heights of being the Premier over in Pakistan. So that has prompted the question, other sports stars that we can think of from our respective sporting fields or elsewhere who turned their back on their game and turned it to completely alternative rights. I was thinking from a cricket point of view. There have been a few. One that really struck me, though, was Phil Edmonds. I don't remember if you remember Phil Edmonds, who was a spin bowler for England back in late 70s, throughout the 80s pretty much. Him and John Embry had that wonderful combination, Edmonds at one end, Embry at the other. Phil Edmonds turned his back on cricket and turned his attention to gold mines, gold and diamond mines in Africa, and became a very, very, very wealthy man to this day, as becoming something of a mining magnate down from that particular area. So here's a boy that's done good, not so much from cricket and the commentary box, from something else. Can you think of others?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most obvious one is Michael Jordan. You know, after he left his playing career, together with Nike, formed the Jordan range, and it's now ultimately bigger than some sporting goods company in the world. And I think he's continuing to make more and more money off the Jordan brand than what he ever did playing. So absolutely fantastic career. And the brand just gets stronger and stronger every year. And with that, I guess, so does Michael Jordan's bank account just grow and grow. Of course, he's bought an NBA team now too. So he seems to have a lot of vested interests and doing very, very well for himself after his playing career.
I mean, talking of brands, you mentioned Fred Perry a little earlier on. He was a man who turned his attention to clothing and goods and made good from that. And there's also that rugby one, isn't it? Who are the two rugby lads who became sort of synonymous with rugby kit, and of course the British and Irish Lions as well.
The front ranker for England, I'll get on his name now, Tom.
Frank Cotton.
There we go.
Frank Cotton.
There we go.
Cotton traders and all that.
There we go.
With them. So they did very well out of manufacturing and clothing and apparel as well. Shawnee, can you think of any?
Well, we were talking off air and you mentioned the Liverpool player, and I couldn't remember his name, so I did have to Google it, I have to be honest about it, but it was Craig Johnston.
That's right, yeah.
The Aussie lad, yeah, and he played for Liverpool, didn't he, in the 70s and the 80s. Won a lot of titles and cups with them, but he invented the Adidas Predator boot, didn't he?
Can you imagine? You know,
imagine that, yeah.
So of all those days, you know, the hard yards of pre-season and things like that and the sore knees, and then you get out of the event, you create a boot and you become a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I mean, that boot is probably the biggest selling boot of all time, I would imagine. The Predator range is
still available now.
It is, yeah. Well, it was an anniversary, I think, last season for when the original ones came out, and they remade the originals last year. But he also, interestingly enough, I was just reading on here, he also co-wrote the Anfield rap.
Oh, look at that. He's probably still getting royalties from that
Yeah. So he's multi-talented since he finished playing football.
Talking about shoes, of course, Stan Smith.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The former world number one created a fantastic shoe that's still selling today. So, a lot of these players, they normally seem to either go into commentary or coaching. And then, as you say, a couple of these guys just go into the business world and kill it in that department too.
So, let's throw it out to the listeners out there as well. What about the alternatives? What about the ones that have gone on to careers in other parts and other spheres? If you know of any suggestions, please do share them with us on 4001. Right, where are we going to start? Well, there's only one place to start. It's the live sport that is ongoing at the moment, and it's the Rugby Championship that is back, and it's back with a bang. It is Bledisloe 1 of the Rugby Championship 2018. We're into the second half, and before we bring you up to date with the latest scores, let's just remind ourselves of some recent action between these two heavyweights.
Championship 2017. Ioane to Squire! Liam Squire! Ringo Ioane! He has got a double. He had no real room to move. He doesn't need a lot of room. The most points New Zealand has ever scored against Australia.
Championship 2018 is back, and it's back with a bang with two of the big guns going head to head today. We've got Australia against New Zealand. It's live down in Sydney at the moment. Let's see how both teams are faring. CBR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is going as predicted. Every team in the championship or in the world seems to be able to maintain the All Blacks until about the 30-minute, 35-minute mark, and then they literally start opening the taps. Brodie Retallick just diving over for a beautiful five-pointer, ran about 25 metres, the big lock forward. Before him, Aaron Smith has crossed the try line, Jack Goodu, as well as Baden Barrett. New Zealand, 24. Australia 6, 63 minutes played.
I mean, in your professional opinion and in the professional opinions of others, given dominance of New Zealand in recent time in the All Blacks, were the Wallabies given any chance in this particular game?
Not at all. I said, and I got criticised a lot on the show for saying, or should I rather say Sports Tonight, I said, give the All Blacks the trophy before the tournament even started, because I don't believe anybody at this moment in time can compete with the All Blacks. I don't think Australia are good enough. They don't have the depth. Izzy Frilal just limping off the field, so even more bad news for the Aussies. And even South Africa, I just don't think they're quite up to the pace of the All Blacks. Of course, the All Blacks had Kieran Reid, Brodie Retallick coming back into their team this for this afternoon's clash, or should I rather say for this evening's clash, Tom. And at this moment in time, I don't believe there's any team that can compete with them.
When you look at the other two teams in the competition who go head-to-head a little later on, Pumas against the Boks, I mean, obviously Argentina have shown their grit and their strength and their sort of manpower in recent seasons as well. The Boks have become a lot more expansive in recent years as well. Either of those throw up any element of threat at all to the All Blacks?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, one thing, the championship has been good for Argentina. We've seen them go from strength to strength, beating beating Australia, beating South Africa on home turf. South Africa is still quite a young side, some exciting players coming through, but not quite the combinations there yet there to threaten the All Blacks. And as I say that, the Australians have just went over for a try. It looks like Kirtley Beale, the inside centre, but against the run of play. So Australia getting one back there for them. The score currently 26 points to 13, with a conversion to come from Australia.
Have they got enough time as well? About 40 minutes left in this particular game. We're going to keep you updated on the live scores as they come through from Sydney. The first game of the Rugby Championship is Bledisloe. Action underway at the moment. Pumas against Box a little later on. Just a quick one from me as well before we move things on. We've just seen the end to another great sort of Super Rugby season that came to a conclusion over the last week or so. Straight into the Rugby Championship as well. Any big surprise that we saw a New Zealand side, a New Zealand franchise, top out in the rugby in the Super Rugby season, and a number of those players pulling on the All Blacks strip this weekend?
Yeah, no big surprise at all. And once again, the Crusaders have been such a successful outfit in Super Rugby. But I think Super Rugby overall is a competition that needs to be looked at, Tom. I find it's getting a little bit dull at the moment. And that's once again the dominance of the New Zealand teams. It just seems the South African teams, the Australian teams are really struggling to compete with them. But once again, hats off to the Canterbury Crusaders. Absolutely fantastic final, demolishing the Lions there in Canterbury. And as you say, a lot of those Canterbury players now playing for the All Blacks today, and you can just see it with Sam Whitelock, Kieran Reid and the likes leading the way. And as I said, I just look at the All Blacks at this moment in time and I just don't know who can actually compete with them. They're so good.
It is 13 points, plays 26 with around about 30 minutes left in that particular game. Can the Wallabies fashion something of a comeback? We'll keep an eye on that one. We've got team news coming for you in just a few moments. Time for the early kickoff in the Premier League. Cardiff are entertaining Newcastle. Sean, you put us in the picture of that one. But before we do that, you heard it from CVR. He believes that the All Blacks are the ones to watch, the ones to beat at this year's Rugby Championship. Is that just predictable? Is that a bold prediction, or is it just the form book talking? Well, Brian Habana, a fellow countryman of CVR, is very much in agreement.
Rugby Championship, and you know, going into every Rugby Championship over the last like 5 years since its inception, you know, New Zealand have always been the team to beat. I think, you know, bar the 2015 when I think Australia won, you know, New Zealand have been the forefront, and again, you know, they just seem to have some way of continually producing a line of players that step up to the plate every time they pull on that All Black jersey. So I think South Africa, you know, have showed some really good progress over the last month, you know, under Rassie Erasmussen. And you know, I know he'll definitely be looking forward to continuing that. You know, Australia are getting some key individuals back that they didn't have in June, and like I said, I think they'll be good as well. So I think it'll be a lot more tightly contested than normal, you know, rugby championships. And we saw with the Jaguares in Super Rugby, you know, winning, I think, four games over in Australasia, you know, that they're not going to be a mean feat to overcome either. So, again, you know, probably, you know, my heart is saying South Africa, but my head is saying that, you know, New Zealand will be the team to beat throughout the Rugby Championship.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Grill time with you through until 6 o'clock this afternoon. Let's find out what's happening in the rugby, because it's live down in Bledisloe action coming from Sydney. It's the Rugby Championship. CVR's keeping an eye on this one for us.
Yeah, Tom, it's going the way we predicted. The All Blacks are once again stamping their authority on the Rugby Championship. The All Blacks leading Australia 26 points to 13, 71 minutes played in that international.
Keeping an eye on that one. We'll keep an eye on the cricket for you as well. India, I can tell you, have made a very solid start against England. I'll give you a score on that one in just a few moments' time. But I'm conscious of the fact that players will be making their way out onto the field very shortly down at Cardiff as Cardiff take on Newcastle. Second weekend of the Premier League is about to get underway. We are the official Premier League station here in the UAE and giving you an opportunity to hear Tottenham against Fulham a little later on this afternoon. That's live from 6 o'clock. We'll be hearing from match commentator Dan Wheeler just after 5 o'clock this afternoon from our colleagues at Talk Sport. In the meantime, though, let's keep our attention to this first game. As I said, Cardiff taking on Newcastle, and the Cardiff boss, Neil Warnock, is looking forward to this one.
I just think it's an exciting time for everybody at the club, really. You know, is it going to be a cracking crowd? I mean, nearly a full house, you know, and it's what we've been striving for, really, since, I mean, when I came to the club, if you'd have said we'd have been playing in front of a full house in 18 months' time, you know, they'd have thought I was in cloud cuckoo land. So it's a great feeling, and I think it's a good club to be playing, Newcastle. I think, you know, Rafa's got them in the top 10 last year, didn't they? So, you know, they've got some good players, and they always got a great following. So I remember at the end of the first season when they got promotion, they played us at the end of the season, and the fans were unbelievable. And I said, I remember turning to Kevin Blackwell and saying, we want some of this, don't we? Look at their fans here. They're so, you know, it was brilliant. So it promises to be a good atmosphere all around tomorrow.
Promises to be a good atmosphere, especially with the tune in town in the Welsh capital. Sean O'Shea is watching on with interest on this one. Which way has Neil Warnock gone with his selection of his starting 11?
He's made four changes, but most notably is that Harry Arter is back. He's in the starting lineup today, because obviously last week he couldn't play because he was playing against Bournemouth, which he's on loan for. And then just one change for Newcastle is Javi Manquillo comes in for DeAndre Yedlin, who got injured last week in the game against Tottenham. But I mean, both teams now, they both lost last week, so they'll both be looking to pick up points, especially for Cardiff playing at home. You know, it's no disrespect to Cardiff, but every opponent they come up against, you kind of think, are they going to get points here? Are they going to, you know, try and steal a win or get a draw? It's a game where they need to get points. Obviously, home against Newcastle, they need to do it. But you would expect, or I would expect anyway, that Newcastle are going to go there today. It should be a cracking game. I would imagine it'd be quite a feisty one. But I would say that I think that Newcastle will probably come away with 3 points there.
A lot of eyes on Newcastle as well. We'll hopefully be hearing from their manager before the end of the show. But let's also just get some team news for you for the Newcastle fans that are listening in out there. How do they line up for this afternoon?
So they've lined up here now. So it's Dubravka in goals, Manquillo, Dummett, Clark and Lascelles at the back, Richie, Diarmi, Shelvey, Kennedy in midfield, and then Perez just playing just behind Joselu there. And he was reading the team news before, we're thinking that maybe Rondon would probably start, yeah, after his move from West Brom, but he's only on the bench. I mean, he came off the bench against Tottenham last week, but it was a bit too late for him really to have any impact in the game. They were already well and truly beaten by Tottenham by the time he came on. But I think he's a very good striker, Rondon. I think it's a good signing for Newcastle. You know, he scored goals for West Bromwich in the Premier League, and I think if they play him regularly, I think he could be a, you know, 15 goals, you know, maybe get 15 goals for the season. I think I see him as that kind of striker.
What's the sort of thinking going in when you come up from the Championship these days, which, as we well know, is one of the most competitive leagues in the world, bar none at the moment, because the riches that are on the horizon if you get yourself up into the Premier League, but also, I suppose, the pitfalls, and we've seen examples of both in recent seasons. What's a manager to do when they get that 100 million windfall to come up into the Premier League? Is it just to survive in that first season, or do you take a leaf out of other teams' books and look for to go forward and continue that style of play that you've got yourself up there with?
I think it's a difficult one. I think it depends on the club. You know, if we take, you know, my team Huddersfield for example, you know, we've never been a Premier League club before last season, so for us it was about, you know, we were kind of just, I won't say happy to be here, but we're obviously very happy to get promoted, but it was kind of if we go down, we go down, because we'd never been a Premier League club before. So the manager in that sense prepared us for, you know, competing in the Premier League,
yeah,
but we didn't go and spend all the money that we got, because if we did get relegated, we'd kind of just try and go at it again. But then if you look, you know, look at like Newcastle, for example, and West Ham when they got relegated to the Championship, because they were established Premier League clubs for a long time, I think there's two trains of thought when you're in the Championship. It's you build a team that's going to get you promoted, but you're also buying players that are going to kick on when you get back to the Premier League, because those kind of clubs, you don't expect them to get relegated. Like West Brom, for example, this year, and Swansea, they will kind of be thinking, well, we're Premier League clubs, essentially. We need to get back into the Premier League, but we also, when we get there, we need to make sure that we kick on and we don't find ourselves in this position again. So I think, to go back to the question, it depends on the club and the stature of the club, and whether you've been there before as an established Premier League club or whether you haven't. I think every club is unique and different, but every club wants to survive. You know, we managed to do it last year at Huddersfield, and the managers recruited well over the summer again, and we will be looking to kick on. But look, if we finish 2 points better than we did last season and one place higher, we'll be happy, because, yeah, we'll still be in the Premier League next year.
Arter makes his Cardiff debut. Rondon's on the bench for Newcastle. Jonjo Shelvey wears the number 8 for Newcastle. He's been in the news over the last few days. A couple of choice comments from him to a couple of the media and news sources in the build-up to this one. Jonjo had a great end to last season. There were a few chats during the rounds that maybe Gareth Southgate might take him to Russia, as what we're not entirely sure. Sure, but he's come out since then and said that England would have been a better team with him in. Now, obviously, he's entitled to his opinions as well, and it's good to see that confidence brimming as well ahead of a new season. Do comments like that help, though?
I think, like I said, he's full of confidence. He finished the season very well. The comment he made, I mean, I actually think he has a point in a way, because England were very, as good as a World Cup they had in terms of how far they got, you know, all the substitutions in the squad they had were all like for like. They didn't really have anything or anyone that could come on and do something a little bit different. And I think Jonjo Shelvey can do that. I spoke a lot during the World Cup about, you know, Jack Wilshere, and people kind of laughed at me a little bit. But I think in games where they needed someone to come on and do something a little bit different and change the style of play a little bit, like Jonjo Shelvey could have been one of those players. Now, I personally wouldn't have taken him, but, you know, that being said. Yeah. But he kind of has a point. Does it help? Oh, he's just getting, maybe just getting himself mentioned and people talking about him. But look, he has to, you know, they say the proof's in the pudding. He has to go out there now and continue that form he had at the end of last season and try and have a good season this year. And if he starts well and plays well, then maybe Gareth Southgate will look at him and put him in the next England squad. You never know.
We have got a couple of comments coming through on this one. Thanks very much indeed to Jack, who's been in touch with us this afternoon, saying looking at our next fixtures. If Newcastle don't get any points today at Cardiff, are we realistically going to get any points on the board before the back end of September? I suppose, is there a sort of a theory to that, targeting certain games to get points in?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, you know, I talk about Town again. We first game Chelsea, second game Man City. We don't expect to get any points from that, but our third game will be Cardiff at home next Saturday, and that's where we will hopefully pick up, you know, not just the first points this season, but three good points. But they do, like they say, you know, they talk about all the time, don't they, with the Premier League, there's almost two divisions. There's the top six that are playing for the top six, and then the rest of them are just playing to qualify for Europe, or the bottom guys, not obviously not to get relegated. But you do, managers will sit down and they'll look at the fixtures and they will plan where they think they can definitely pick up points, or where they have to pick up points. And then there'll be those games where, well, maybe we can sneak a point away at this team or whatnot. And then obviously when you a team like Cardiff or Newcastle, when they're going to the big six, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a free hit, but you know, if you don't win, it's no surprise really.
We're going to keep an eye on this game for you. As I said, players are in the tunnel. In fact, they just made their way onto the field already. Overcast conditions down there in Cardiff. And just a comment from you, Carlos, on this one as well, because we saw Newcastle come up last season. They're a great addition back into the Premier League because they bring so much history, they bring so much passion. The fans are brilliant. They are good to have in the top league of British football, because it sort of fills that gap up in and around Newcastle as well, to have them back in the top flight. Also good, I suppose, in the same breath, to have a Welsh team in the Premier League. Yeah. We lost one last season. We've got another one back up. Bit of a yo-yo there. But it's good to have a Welsh team in the English Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, at the end of the day, the fight for that Premier League is so important, because, of course, the financial connotations that go with it. And I kind of feel, if you look at the, call it the bottom half, like you just said, it's in two sections, I actually kind of fancy Newcastle. I think they've got a very, very good manager. And last week, they were pretty unlucky against Spurs. One or two things going the way, you know, that they could have got a draw, even the 3 points. So, yeah, Tom, I think that's what makes the English Premier League so great. We've spoken about it many a times. It's such a competitive league. One can beat 20. But in all honesty, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, good luck beating Man City this season. I honestly think that, I think they can give them the trophy already, because they are looking in such great form. And if you look at depth, that bench of theirs can surely beat most of the teams in the league this season. So good luck to any team playing against them.
Vincent Tan is out on the field before the play. He is wearing his rather predictable Vincent Tan top over his shirt as well, which is a great look, isn't it? So I love that. But good to see the owners out there in force as well. I'm going to have to push you for a prediction if that's all right, Shawnee, on this one.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to say Newcastle 2-0.
2-0 to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Oh, really? OK.
Yeah.
So you reckon they can get the points away from home? That'll be crucial for them, won't it?
It will, yeah. It will be crucial for them. But I just think, looking at the starting 11s, I just don't think Cardiff are strong enough, you know, going into this game. I think Newcastle, like you said, played well last week and a little bit unlucky. I think they'll kick on from that and rebound well with a victory today.
Let's get some more thoughts from Cardiff's Neil Warnock. He believes that they are underdogs, not just in this game, but every game they play this season.
From their point of view, I think, not just their point of view, I think every club in the league will think it's a winnable game playing Cardiff. It's just, how are we going to be this year? I think it's, you know, we've got to improve and we've got to try and use the full squad as best we can. I think that the home games in particular, with the fans, we've got to take it on board how exciting it is, really, and let's give them something to cheer about.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Hopefully we do. We're trying to do exactly that for you. So all you have to do is stay in touch with the show. How do you do that? You text us now on 4001. Get in touch at Dubai I1038 FM or at Dubai iSport. Hashtag Dubai I1038 if you're on other social media platforms other than Twitter. And just to let you know, the lines are live as well. So if you want to give us a call, please do that. Viva Las Vegas is taking your calls this afternoon. So give her a buzz on 04871 5500. She'd be happy to entertain you and get you on air with your thoughts. And of course, about all the sport that's taking place today. There is no shortage of it. So let's try and get around the grounds. We've got two kickoffs over in the United Kingdom, one in Scotland and one in Wales at the moment. But we've also just had the culmination of the game down in Sydney in Australia. It is the Bledisloe Cup 1. It's come to a conclusion. Let's get a match report from Arman CVR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is no big surprise down in Sydney. The All Blacks go marching on, and very handsomely. They have beaten Australia 38 points to 13 in the first of the Rugby Championship, and of course, the first of those Bledisloe Cup games. And as predicted, the last 20 minutes, the All Blacks just opened the taps. Waisaki Naholo scoring in the 74th and 75th minute for them. Once again, Baden Barrett on fire with ball in hand as well as kicking to goal. Final score, All Blacks 38, Australia 13.
5 minutes in the Scottish Cup game, or the Scottish League Cup game, which is underway. 5 minutes into the early kickoff in the Premier League as well. Let's get the latest from our man, Sean O'Shea.
Not much happening, to be fair, in the Cardiff Newcastle game. Still 0-0. Been a few tasty tackles going in. Matt Ritchie's been booked already for clattering to Junior Hoylett. Got a free kick for Cardiff on the edge of the box that came to nothing. But yeah, nothing but fouls and robust challenges, shall we say, at the moment. But still 0-0. And then the Partick Thistle Celtic Scottish League Cup game. That's 9 minutes in now, and that's 0-0 also.
Let's get over to the cricket now, where the third test match is underway. That man Ben Stokes returning to the England 11. Sam Curran a little unfortunate to miss out on that one. A couple of changes for India as well, with Dhawan Pant and Bumrah all coming in. Vijay Kartik and Kuldeep missing out for India this time. India got off to a nice solid start a little earlier on. They got up to 50-odd without the loss of any wickets. However, that has all changed up at Trent Bridge. Two quick wickets for the England pace attack, and they come from the two men that share the similar name. Stokes and Wokes both with the wickets at the moment. One apiece for both Stokes and Wokes. Rahul, the last man to go, LBW to the bowling of Wokes, and Ben Stokes, the man that picked up the first of the wickets. We will bring you more from Trent Bridge as the afternoon is out. I changed that one because we were told it was Stokes that had picked up the first wicket. It was not. It was the man that sounds like Stokes. It was Wokes. So two wickets for Wokes. Dhawan and Rahul both falling to the seamer. First one was caught by Butler. The second one was LBW. They both fell for 35 and 23 respectively in quick succession, which brings Pujara and Captain Fantastic Virat Kohli to the crease. 5 and 0 respectively. So two wickets for that man, Wokes. 2 for 11 from 4. Not bad. He's got Ben Stokes operating at the other end as well. He's none from 26 off 6.2. And a lot of focus on he. I just want to turn back to the Bledisloe, though, if I can, because it's good to have Rugby Championship back with us at the moment. Any big sort of shake-ups in any of the teams that we should be looking towards for this particular season? Any new names, new faces that you think might leave their mark on the tournament?
Yeah, well, a lot of talk is of the new South African winger, Apiwe Diyanti. Of course, he made his debut against England in that series that South Africa won, and he scored on debut. This young boy hails from the Eastern Cape, Dale College, and then went on to the University of Johannesburg. Didn't really come through the normal system, and Tom, he's been scoring tries for fun for the Lions. So a lot of talk about him before the Rugby Championship has started. As I say, young upcoming. I think it'll be interesting to see Rusty Rasmus, a couple of the combinations that he has been choosing, how that new loose trio for the box this afternoon will function. Siya Kolisi, of course, the captain Francois Lowe is now back from Bath. He wears the number 6 jersey. And then Warren Whiteley, that's been out for a very, very long time, he takes over from Dwayne Vermeulen at number 8. Of course, you know, from an Australia perspective, Izzy Folau, he's in that number 15 jersey. Unfortunately, he went limping off the field today for Australia, so that will be a big, big concern for him. And then, of course, the big news before today's game is the Brody Retallick was back for the All Blacks, as well as All Black captain Kieran Reid. And you can once again see the big differences those two boys made to the All Blacks, which handsomely beat the Australians 38 points to 13.
And what about you out there listening in? Are you Southern Hemisphere rugby fans? If so, who are the players to watch out for? Who are the ones to keep an eye on from all four respective nations during this year's competition? Let's get the thoughts of a former All Black on the All Blacks to watch.
Rugby Championship for 2018. The All Blacks come in as defending champs and favourites, and of course they will have a number of crusaders within them, Super Rugby champions this year. And we're asking all of our special guests to discuss maybe some players to watch within their national sides, players who aren't perhaps frontline players. And it's two crusaders for you, Sean Fitzpatrick, that you're most excited about from an All Black perspective.
Very much so. I think the All Blacks are very settled. They're trying to develop a squad where they could have 30 players that could potentially play in a World Cup final. But two players for me that I think got a real opportunity in this championship to really seal a place is Jack Goodhue at 13. There's a number of options there with Leonard Brown, you know, all those
Crotty as well.
Crotty, yeah, obviously, but and also Richie Mwanga, who I think has been the star of Super Rugby 2018. He's been quite outstanding. Unfortunately, he's got the best number 10 in world rugby in front of him.
Yeah.
But I think he will get game time because they need him to have game time. I don't think they'll use him off the bench. They'll use McKenzie off the bench. But with that, I think Richie Mwanga could be the breakthrough player of 2018.
I guess the interesting thing around Mwanga is Lima Sopawanga sort of played that role from the Highlanders. He was a specialist 10 who they used on occasion off the bench. He's left through lack of opportunity and an opportunity at Wasps. How do you think they'll use Richie Mwanga? It'll be a start or nothing for him?
Yeah, I think purely he's the best number second best number 10, and he will come. I don't think he'll come off the bench. I think they have to use, as we've seen, he's been so exceptional. Well, McKenzie off the bench has been exceptional, real injection, like the Barrett of old. That's why he started, then he forced his way into the start. I don't see McKenzie as potential starting number 10.
Sure.
I see Mwanga, and we've seen that. He is quite dominant, and the way he played in that Super Rugby final, he dominated the game, and that's what Steve Hansen was looking for, somebody that level can dominate and then transfer that into Test rugby.
Does he look like an All Black to you?
He looks very comfortable as a Test All Black.
All right, Jack Goodhue and Richie Mwanga, Sean Fitzpatrick's ones to watch in New Zealand.
Difficult to argue. Well, it's not very sensible thing to argue with Fitzy, but would you disagree with any of those thoughts?
I think Fitzy's pretty spot on. I think the only thing I do disagree with him on, I don't believe Baden Barrett is the best number 10 in the world. I still believe Johnny Sexton is, but that's just my 2 cents worth. But I think the sad thing for Mwanga is he's got Baden Barrett that's playing above him, and unfortunately he can't be used as an impact player, as I'm saying, Tom. So he will have to sit on the sideline, should I rather say, until Baden Barrett does get injured. But I think what Steve Hansen will do is he will give him a cap during the Rugby Championship. Maybe, you know, let him play at that level, let him get that experience, and if anything has to happen to Baden Barrett, he can quite easily slot in the number 10 jersey. Jack Goodhart, a lot been spoken about him. He had a fantastic Super Rugby with the Crusaders, but I think the big thing for me is who will he partner. I know Sonny Bill Williams is normally the number 12. He of course didn't play today. Ryan Crotty took the number 12 jersey, but he was injured quite early on in the game, actually knocked out by Jack Goodhart. A massive head clash happening there, so it'll be interesting to see who will be the partner for this young centre, but he definitely does have a lot of potential.
You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live all the way through till 6 o'clock. Then, of course, we've got live coverage of Tottenham against Fulham. We'll have team news ahead of that one for you, courtesy of Dan Wheeler, our match commentator and colleague from TalkSport, who'll be giving us the latest from there. Let's just stick with the Rugby Championship quickly. We just had the culmination of that first game. We're talking there about the favourites, everyone's favourites, with good reason for this particular tournament, New Zealand, looking to continue their good form. But what about, lest we not forget, the Box. I mean, the Box have had a good run of it recently, had a good series win against England a little earlier on this year. We're going to hear from a former Springbok international about his ones to watch in just a few moments' time. But you mentioned a couple of names there. Let's just see if they marry true. Quick reminder of the names that you thought might shine through this year?
Yeah, I think there's a new, very exciting youngster on the wing called Apiwe Diyanti. He hails from the Lions. He played in the Super Rugby final, Tom. And this is a youngster, still quite inexperienced, hasn't been tested against the All Blacks. And I always say, once you've tested yourself against the All Blacks, you can clearly see what your standard is. So he will be this new youngster going out, can turn a game on a knife edge. Very, very exciting. I think it'll be good to see what he does in the Rugby Championship. And then, of course, Malcolm Marks, to me, unquestionably the best hooker in world rugby at the moment. So we once again looking for a big, big championship from the number two.
Do you concur? If so, do send us the thoughts on 4001, or if you just need to get it off your chest and shout down the phone, give us a call, 0487155500. Who are the box to watch?
It is an exciting time for South African rugby. A 2-1 series victory over England at home in June, of course, and then the Lions side made the Super Rugby final against the Crusaders, the third straight Super Rugby final. Lots of evolution, if you like, in South African rugby. And Tina Stelport, we're going to ask for your ones to watch, players that perhaps are on the comeback or new names, new faces.
Yeah, I mean, the Springboks on a steep upward curve. We've always had very competitive forwards up front. And for me, the two key guys I'm looking at this year is Andre Pollard, the resurgence of Andre Pollard. He was out two seasons with some serious injuries, so really didn't get that game time to develop. Elton Yankees is there, and also a young pup coming through for the Stormers, Damian Willemse. But really strengthening that depth we have at 10 in terms of the decision making. And it's not often you get very excited about South African backs, but certainly the star for me, that's Sean, and he's already been rewarded earlier in the season with a test debut, is Apiwe Diyanti. He's been absolutely scintillating, brings a lot of pace, a lot of raw pace, but on the back of that, he's also got some fine skills. He's got some really balanced running style. He's got some good distribution, and most importantly for a left winger, he's very comfortable on his left foot. So we've seen in Super Rugby that he's been able to use that little attacking kicks to create opportunities for himself.
Absolutely. He's a real threat for the Lions. Looking forward to seeing more of him in the Springbok jersey. His story is an interesting one as well. He hasn't gone the traditional academy route straight into Curry Cup and Super Rugby. He's had to fight for it and work for it.
Yeah, he's gone the long way around. We, you know, you look at pathways, and a lot of players now get absorbed in those pathways, academies. He was told he was too small. He lost a bit of interest in the game, went to university to study at University of Johannesburg, sort of got that passion back whilst he was at university, got some motivation to play again, and suddenly he's blossomed and really stepped up this season in the Lions shirt and been rewarded with a Springbok opportunity.
Two key men to keep an eye out for. One's a fairly well-established fly half, Andre Pollard, with the Bulls and the South Africans. Looking forward to seeing more of him. And the new man, Apiwe Diyanti, on the left wing for the Springboks.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
You're listening to The Grill on Dubai 103.8. Thank you very much indeed for your text messages. Do keep them coming in. Marianne, thank you very much indeed to you. Marianne, quite rightly, so suggested Seb Coe. Why is Marianne suggesting Seb Coe? Because we've been asking you which sports stars have gone on to alternative second careers. Why are we asking that? Because Imran Khan has this week been named as the Prime Minister down in Pakistan, a man who shone as a truly great all-rounder during his cricketing career, has now gone on to make a name for himself in more ways than one in the world of politics. If you can think of any other suggestions for people that have gone from sport into alternative second careers, share them with us. Let's go to Sean and find out what's happening in the football, because we've got two games for you. One up in Scotland, one down in Wales. What's the latest, my friend?
We will start up in Scotland. We've had a goal. Not surprisingly, it's gone Celtic's way. So Celtic 1, Partick Thistle 0. And it's the man Lee Griffiths has just scored the goal there in 18 minutes. That's game 20 minutes in. So Celtic 1, Partick Thistle 0. And then down to Wales into Cardiff, still 0-0. To be fair to Cardiff, first 15 minutes played well, created a couple of chances. They had a header cleared off the line, and then a couple of minutes later, Newcastle nearly took the lead through Perez. Had a great shot near post, forcing the keeper to save it. But then I think last few minutes now, Newcastle coming into the game, the man we spoke about before, Jonjoe Shelvey's getting on the ball a little bit, and a few nice passes, breaking the lines and then pushing Newcastle forward. But for the moment, remains 0-0.
Let us also turn our attention to the rugby. We've got a result from the Rugby Championship. CVR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is that the All Blacks have kicked off the championship very convincingly. They beat Australia 38 points to 13. And once again, as predicted, at the 45-minute mark, the All Blacks just open all taps. Waisaki Naholo scoring in the 74th and 75th minutes. So winning ways for the All Blacks as they start off the defence of the Bledisloe Cup as well as the Rugby Championship. At 7 p.m. this evening, we've got South Africa taking on Argentina. That game is live from Durban in South Africa.
Let's get over to Trent Bridge because we've got the third test taking place down there. It's the first session of the first day of the third test. England lead the five-game series 2-0 after wrapping India up down at Lord's last Sunday. Ben Stokes back into the starting 11 after being found not guilty midweek during his particular court case. He replaces the unlucky Sam Curran. Only change for England. India bring in Pant, Bumrah and Dhawan for Kuldeep, Kartik and Vijay. England won the toss. They've chosen to field, and who wouldn't with the conditions down there as they are. Overcast at Trent Bridge, the ball's swinging around corners as well, and it is that man Wokes who's picked up the first two wickets. Nice start from Dhawan and Rahul, 35 and 23 respectively. But then Chris Wokes with two wickets in quick succession has reduced India to 82 for two. Pujara and Kohli both at the crease. This is a game that's being played, as I said, with a lot of interest at the moment. English cricket in good fettle in terms of the results that they're getting, but also it's a game that's been played in the shadow of it's become the Ben Stokes show for more reasons than one. Why? Let's just remind ourselves of what happened midweek.
Ben Stokes knew today would almost certainly shape the rest of his life. The decision came after less than 3 hours. After listening to 6 days of evidence and watching hours of CCTV footage, the jury believed Stokes' version of events and unanimously found him not guilty of a fray. Most of that night's confrontation was captured on a mobile phone. Stokes maintained throughout he stepped in after hearing a gay couple he'd already met being abused by two other men. What followed was self-defense as he felt threatened. During the violence, Stokes knocked both Ryan Hale and, out of sight, Ryan Alley unconscious.
Right, sit yourself back in the car, is that?
It's all right.
Yeah.
His night ended in shame, though. England cricket's vice-captain handcuffed and in the back of a patrol car.
So that was Ben Stokes midweek, and he had plenty of questions to answer. The question that is now needs to be answered is, should he be playing for England at the moment? Let's get the thoughts of the grill panellist here in studio. He is back there. He is bowling as we speak at the moment. Should he be? Sean O'Shea.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he's at trials finish now, and he's been cleared of any wrongdoing, so he's free. I think he's free and to get back to doing what he does. I think you have this, don't you, when there's sort of things with sportsmen and stuff, but they're just regular people at the end of the day doing a particular job. Because it's in the spotlight doesn't mean they can't go back to doing it. If it was one of us two that was in trouble, or we'd been cleared of something we hadn't done, we'd be free to go back to work. So I don't think it's a problem that he's done that.
CVR, should Ben Stokes be pulling on England colours this quickly after the court case has been wound up?
To me, the quicker the better. I mean, we know how important he is to the English setup, and you saw what happened in the Ashes last December, Tom, and I think that was a lot to do with Stokes not being in the team. He is instrumental to England. He's a fantastic sportsman, and I'm just glad that he can put this behind him and move on, because to me, England with Ben Stokes in is a much better team than England without Ben Stokes in.
Let's get the thoughts of the England captain now, Joe Root. He has described the decision to leave Sam Curran, remember, a man who picked up the Man of the Match award in his first game, his debut for England in the first game of the series, and then performed very, very well indeed also over at Lord's. Root says that leaving Sam Curran out for Ben Stokes was one of the toughest decisions he's ever had to make.
It's difficult selections I've had to make as captain, actually. I sat him down yesterday, just me and him, and asked him where he was at. He told me that he's desperate to get out there. He wants to obviously put in performances and concentrate on his cricket now. Felt that he was ready to play. We obviously assessed his fitness and stuff as well over the course of the 2 days and made that call. So I've known Ben from being really quite young, and I feel very confident that he will be able to go out and put in a really strong performance. He looks fresh, he looks like he's raring to go, and That's obviously a promising sign after the way he performed at Edgbaston. I think the difficult part is the fact that everyone's performing so well, and I think some people would see that as the easy option to leave Sam out, but he's offered so much to this bowling group. And at the start of the series, I said to the team, for us to win a five-match series against the best side in the world, it's going to take more than just 11 players. And he's played a massive part in the first two, and it might be that he comes back in later on. So ultimately, it's about us as a squad delivering over a 5-6 week period. On this occasion, he's unfortunate to miss out, but what he's done so far has been nothing short of high class. So that's a testament to how well we've been playing, and it's a really good sign for this group moving forward.
Going to keep an eye on this game for you as England take on India in the third test match that's been played down at Trent Bridge. And Ben Stokes, yes, after all that media exposure, is in the England starting 11. India ringing the changes after losing convincingly at Lord's. Virat Kohli at the crease at the moment, and anything possible when Captain Fantastic is there. We're moving towards the second hour of the show. Plenty to come here on the show. We've got rugby championship action coming your way. We'll have build-up and team news ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoff there at 6 o'clock. Before then, we've got all the latest ahead of Tottenham against Fulham. That's in the Premier League. That's live here on Dubai i103.8, so stay tuned for that one. We'll also be reflecting on other big stories of the week. Fernando Alonso has retired from Formula 1, or will be retiring from Formula 1 at the end of this season. What does that mean for the game, and what does he mean for the sport itself? Tyson Fury in action later as well. Plus, if there's anything that you'd like to share with us, do exactly that now by texting us on 4001. And if there are any examples, such as Imran Khan, who moved from cricket into politics, of sports stars who've left behind their sport to enjoy an alternative and successful second career, do share the thoughts and the names of those individuals with us.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.